Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, this sermon is not one you want to sleep through. And I'll do everything I can to make that impossible. Would you read together with me the sermon title? Let's Get Ready to Rumble. Based on Ephesians 6, listen to the text again. Paul writes, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." I especially encourage you today to follow your sermon outline and take that outline home with you for further study as we consider our theme, Let's Get Ready to Rumble. Well, if you've ever turned your television on and found yourself on a sports channel and discovered a professional boxing match is being shown, you may have heard these famous words. Let's get ready to rumble. In fact, the announcer who speaks those words has pretty much made a career of declaring in his very distinctive voice, much deeper and better than mine, those five words that announce the beginning of a major professional boxing match. In today's epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 6, St. Paul tells us about another fight, much more violent, much more important than a boxing match. Make no mistake about it, friends, this is a fight for your eternal soul. And your opponent is someone you cannot defeat on your own. Your opponent is the devil, Satan, with all its forces of evil. This is really a rumble, a fight to the death. And not just the death of your earthly body, but of your eternal soul. Listen to how sainted Martin Luther describes this rumble. In the battle song of the Reformation, in the Christian's battle song, A Mighty Fortress, Luther writes, "The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe. With craft and dreadful might, he arms himself to fight. On earth, he has no equal. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected." This champion, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll talk more about him later, you can be sure. But for right now, let's get to better know our enemy and how he operates. In the text from Ephesians 6, Paul compares our spiritual battle against the devil with a Roman soldier in combat against his enemy. Paul says, "Please remember that every Christian believer is a soldier in this battle." I mentioned it at the beginning of the service. Listen to me again. The challenges, the heartaches, the setbacks we have as a congregation, as a church body, in our homes and in our personal lives are egged on and often caused by that liar, that devil, with his terrible schemes. Every Christian believer, that includes you, you are a soldier in this battle. And Paul tells us in the text that the devil uses fiery darts or flaming arrows. Verse 16 says this, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." In ancient combat, flaming or fiery darts were used in open warfare before hand-to-hand combat began. In Psalm 91, verse 5, the psalmist compares these fiery projectiles with spiritual battles. Listen to what the psalmist says. "You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day." Now, a scene from the famous movie Braveheart illustrates this point. Braveheart, in one scene, shows us the attack of hundreds of British archers shooting thousands of flaming arrows against brave Scotsmen defending their homeland. And the purpose of these flaming arrows was to soften up, to wound, to frighten, discourage the Scots before the charge was sounded and hand-to-hand combat began. And the devil, says St. Paul, also uses flaming darts. These are his lies and his temptations to soften you up, to wound you, to discourage you, so that when the real battle for your soul begins, you'll be wounded and weakened and not so resilient to his hand-to-hand charge and attack. But the good news of Holy Scripture is this: God provides us with a shield. This is the shield of faith. God has crafted this shield for you, and he gives you the strength to use it. Paul says in verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. God gives you a shield of faith and teaches you how to use it. What's the purpose for a shield in combat? Well, little Melissa told us. A shield gives a person protection against attack. The purpose in our spiritual life? The same thing. But here's more good news for you this morning. God not only gives us a shield, he also provides for us shield bearers to stand with us. The purpose of a shield bearer in battle? Well, back to the Braveheart movie. As the thousands of flaming arrows were descending upon the Scots, hundreds of their fellow soldiers stood in front of them with huge, big wooden shields. And when the flaming arrows arrived, the shields absorbed the attack. The purpose of shield bearers in our lives today, the same thing. Your shield bearer is that Christian believer that stands with you and stands for you when the battle in your life is rough. That shield bearer is that Christian believer who holds up your shield of faith when your faith is weak. Permit me this morning to introduce to you a few of the shield bearers in my life. First, when I was age 12, my first entrance into the church, coming from an unchurched and non-Christian family, my first shield bearer, and she's in heaven now, was 4'11", 90-pound Mrs. Miller, my grade 7 Sunday school teacher. And then my shield bearer was my boyhood pastor, Pastor David Belasic. And then my seminary classmate, now Reverend Carl Bleese. And then my dear wife, Beverly. And now the 8 men in this congregation who are elders at Trinity Lutheran Church are my shield bearers. Who has been your spiritual shield bearer? Who is your spiritual shield bearer? Not sure? Don't have one? Today, ask God to lay on your heart the name of one person to whom you can turn to help you hold your shield when the battle rages. Speak with them. Pray with them. This is one reason God has placed us in the church, in the body of Christ, that we might stand with and for one another. And here's my second question. For whom can you be a spiritual shield bearer? Ask your dear Lord to direct you to that person that needs your help in holding up their shield of faith. God can use you as a warrior in this battle. Oh, you younger people. Oh, us older people, how important are our Christian friends? How important are our brothers and sisters in Christ? How important is the fellowship of the Christian church? How important it is to both have and to be that shield bearer. But also to prepare us for the battle so that you can be ready to rumble, God provides just for you a custom-fitted helmet. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take up the helmet of salvation. In the Old Testament, The prophet Isaiah, the 59th chapter, the 17th verse. God is described as going to war for his people. And here is how God's described. The Lord has put a helmet of salvation upon his head. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we read this verse, the key verse of the Lutheran Reformation. By grace, you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God. God gives us his own helmet of salvation. Just as a helmet is the most important piece of armor for a soldier in battle, so the gift of your salvation is the most precious gift God has given to you. But here's some sobering truth. The devil is trying his damnedest. But he cannot take this salvation from you. In 2 Peter 5:8, listen to what Peter says. The devil, our enemy, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. Over the years, I've had many opportunities to speak at national youth gatherings for Christian youth. A song that the young people always seemed to sing with gusto was this song with a long title, but it was a glorious song. Here's the song title. It's on your handout. The lions may eat my body, but they cannot swallow my soul. On one level, this song is a reference to the early Christians, our fathers and mothers in the faith who have come before us that were thrown into the pit of the Roman Colosseum as terrible sport as people watched the lions rip them apart. The song was a statement of faith that the enemies of Jesus and his followers may end my earthly life, but they can never touch God's gift of salvation and heaven. But on another level, this rousing song tells us today, and please listen to me as you hear me say this, because I know in the heart and soul of each one of your hearts and lives, this battle is raging. No one, nothing, no heartaches, no setbacks, not even the devil himself can take away God's gift of salvation he has given to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. By the death and resurrection of Jesus, our God has fitted upon your head his custom-fitted helmet of salvation. But that's not all. This text is so rich and full. Your dear Lord has also given to you the sword of the Spirit, which is the very Word of God. Listen to the text. Ephesians 6, 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword that Paul speaks of here is a short sword, not much bigger than the plastic one I had for the children's message. It's a short sword used by a Roman soldier for hand-to-hand combat. As we mentioned earlier, in ancient warfare, when the long-distance warfare was done and the flaming darts had done their damage, then came the charge and the soldiers and the armies together for hand-to-hand combat with short swords. And this short sword, says the scripture, that you hold is very sharp. Phase one of the battle is long-distance arrows. Phase two is close-in fighting. Spiritually speaking, after the devil has tried to soften us up with his lies and his temptations and his discouragements, then he comes to us face-to-face, hand-on-hand combat, and no longer can you depend on your shield bearer. You have to face him yourself. Oh, but the scripture says, you are armed. St. Paul tells us that the sword God provides you is very sharp and very powerful. It is his holy word. The text says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In his battle hymn for the Christian, Martin Luther puts it this way in Mighty Fortress. Though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us. We tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage. In battle we'll engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word will subdue him. This one word is the powerful word of God. Especially the clear proclamation of Jesus Christ, the victorious one, on cross and empty tomb, victorious over sin, death, and devil. Whenever God's word is proclaimed, whenever God's word is read, studied, discussed, prayed after, and shared, that liar, that devil is subdued. He's put in his place. You want to send the devil to hell? You want to send him packing? Then take up the Word of God. That's why your pastor, again and again and again and again, encourages you to be faithful in worship, to hear God's Word proclaimed from the pulpit, but even as important, to be faithful in Sunday school and Bible classes. Why? So that God can put in your hand the sword of the Spirit. So when you face that damn liar by yourself, the devil, you will be equipped to send him packing with the very Word of God. We'll talk more about that in our announcements today. But here is some more good news in this text. The victory in battle never depends on you and me. The victory in battle is a gift of our dear Lord who loves you so much. Listen again to God's word as proclaimed in Luther's fight song. This is so sweet. Speaking of the enemy, speaking of the devil, listen to what Luther says. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be? The Lord of hosts is he, Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. Wow. And St. Paul says this same thing. In verse 10 of today's text, listen to what he said. The first verse that our brother Ian read to us this morning. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The victory depends not upon us, but upon our Lord Jesus, God's strong champion who has come and defeated the enemy for us. And here is yet more good news. St. Paul in this text compares a Roman soldier with you and me. And everybody knew at Paul's time that the Roman soldier had every piece of his armor and every one of his weapons provided to him by his commanding officer. Every soldier was outfitted with a sword, with a shield, with a helmet. He was given the very best equipment the Roman Empire could give to him, free of charge. The soldier did not have to depend on his homemade, makeshift, second-rate stuff. Given this best the Empire had to provide him, the soldier was only asked one thing by his commanding armor, by his commanding officer. Put on the armor, take up the sword, and when the enemy comes, trust me, your commander, trust your armor, and stand firm. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. God, our commander, gives to each one of us, his baptized child and soldier in his army, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, so we can stand firm and be victorious in the battle. In the final verse of the Christian's battle hymn, this is how Luther ends it. Listen to these precious words. God's word forever shall abide. No thanks to foes who fear it. For God himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. Were they to take our house, our goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom is ours forever. My dearly beloved, let's get ready to rumble in the name of Jesus, our champion.